Little Steven's Underground Garage is next after a world news update on VOA Music Mix.
Airport screening procedures keeping dozens off planes, and Islamic State claims beheading a British hostage. I'm Bill Michaels reporting from Washington. The White House says that a ban on travel to Ebola-affected countries in West Africa would be counterproductive. Homeland Security Advisor Lisa Monaco said that a travel ban would actually impede the response to Ebola cases in affected countries, and that airport screening procedures are keeping ill people off planes.
The most important and effective thing we can do is to control the epidemic at its source. So what we want to be able to do is ensure we're getting the assistance, we're getting the expertise, and we're getting the providers into the affected region and not impeding that.
Speaking at a Friday press briefing, Monaco said that airport screening, which has been in effect since the summer, has been effective preventing dozens and dozens of people from getting on planes. The procedures check for temperature and other symptoms of illness. Also during that time, Monaco said tens of thousands of individuals have come to the United States from this region of West Africa. And we have the isolated case in Texas, she says. The case in Texas is Liberian national Thomas Duncan, who remains in serious but stable condition at a hospital in Dallas after being diagnosed with Ebola on Sunday. The Islamic State terrorist group says it has executed British hostage Alan Henning. The group posted a video late Friday showing the purported beheading. The video was released in the same manner as those depicting the beheadings of three other Western captives. Islamic State militants are continuing their advance on the northern Syrian town of Kobani near the Turkish border. This is VOA News. The Australian government has authorized airstrikes against Islamic State targets in Iraq. Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott says IS has declared war on the world and must be degraded and disrupted. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Australian warplanes are expected to begin bombing missions inside Iraq within days. Canberra has already sent 600 troops and six fighter jets to a US base in the United Arab Emirates. Prime Minister Tony Abbott says Australian commandos will be deployed to northern Iraq to act as advisers to local forces fighting insurgents. Critics worry that Australia will become enmeshed in another protracted war in the Middle East. The United States and Arab nations have been bombing IS targets in Iraq and Syria for some 2 weeks. More than 60 nations are now involved in the US-led mission, although most aren't carrying out airstrikes. Phil Mercer, Sydney, Australia.
The White House has condemned the killing in Ukraine of a Swiss staff member of the International Committee of the Red Cross. In a statement Friday, the Obama administration called on all parties in Ukraine's conflict to protect civilians in their midst and hold accountable those who engage in the indiscriminate use of force. State Department spokesperson Jen Psaki.
We call on all parties to take all feasible precautions to prevent the loss of innocent life, comply with international humanitarian law, and respect the facilities of humanitarian organizations.
The death of the 38-year-old staff member was caused by a shell landing near the ICRC office in Donetsk Thursday. Fighting continued between Ukrainian government troops and separatists near the Donetsk airport Friday, threatening a declared ceasefire while the two sides exchanged blame for the Swiss man's death. The United States says the new Swedish government's recognition of a Palestinian state is premature. State Department spokeswoman Jen Psaki said Friday the U.S. supports Palestinian statehood, but it can only come through a negotiated outcome by both parties. Psaki said Israelis and Palestinians must be the ones to agree on the terms on how they live in the future two states. Hong Kong pro-democracy protesters and police clashed early today in the latest violent incident since police used tear gas and pepper spray on demonstrators Sunday. Video footage showed police forcing their way through a barricade protesters had set up near a government building in the central business district. There were no reports of injuries. And a stampede at a religious festival in eastern India has left at least 32 people dead and 15 others hospitalized. Reporting from Washington, I'm Bill Michaels, and this is VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
dream of the unreal. Beatniks at their bawdiest. The creative urge at its most primitive.
For those of you with heart conditions, or who are with young and impressionable children, we ask that you turn around in your seats.
Alive! It's alive! It's...
Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Underground Garage.
Underground Garage.
Underground Garage.
Underground Garage.
Underground Garage.
Now they will know why they are afraid of the dark. Now they will learn why they fear the night.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission.
I want counterculture. I want anti-establishment.
This is mass madness, you maniacs! You maniacs! You maniacs!
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
I don't mind other guys dancing with my girl. That's fine.
He was born in Chicago. The rumor of his beginning was that he was the illegitimate son of a Spanish nobleman and a washerwoman. And the rumor of his end was that his body was frozen in liquid nitrogen, awaiting a time when medical science could be advanced to the point he could be reanimated. Neither rumor has ever been confirmed. What we do know is that Walt Disney's passion for drawing and art was obvious from a very early age. By 7, he was selling sketches to his neighbors. At 14, he was studying at the Kansas City Art Institute. And in 1918, at the age of 16, he tried to enlist in the Army to fight in World War I. When rejected because of his age, he joined the Red Cross and spent a year driving an ambulance in France. An ambulance, by the way, covered with his own cartoon drawings instead of camouflage. He got into animation the minute he got back and started to create the Alice comedies about a real girl and her adventures in an animated world. When this venture went bankrupt, his brother Roy invited him out to California, where they pooled their savings, about $500, borrowed another $500, and set up shop in their uncle's garage. They would complete the Alice comedies, calling it Alice in Cartoonland, and sell it, and so began a fabulous career. On November 18, 1928, Mickey Mouse made his screen debut in the world's first synchronized sound cartoon. In 1937, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the first full-length animated feature, would be the first of 100 successful movies Disney Studios would create. His fondest dream would come true July of 1955, when the Disneyland theme park would open up. To celebrate, ABC broadcast a TV special featuring a bunch of kids known as Mouseketeers. These regular kids, specifically not actors, would be given their own show October 3rd, 1955. It would be called the Mickey Mouse Club Show. It consisted of 39 preteen Caucasian boys and girls, a couple of song and dance numbers, a cartoon or two, and serialized stories beginning with the Hardy Boys. Annette Funicello would be the first child star to cross into a successful showbiz career, emerging from the first four-year, 360-episode run. But she wouldn't be the last. A new Mickey Mouse Club ran for two seasons in 1977, and a third would be introduced for the new Disney Channel in 1989, and would run about 5 years. It was from this last one Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, and Justin Timberlake would be discovered. In the original 50s show, each day of the week had a theme. Tuesday was Guest Star Day, Wednesday Anything Can Happen Day, Thursday Circus Day, and Friday Talent Roundup Day. What is most interesting is that in the 50s, music was considered such an integral, essential part of our culture that it not only wasn't eliminated from our school system, as it is tragically today, it was given its own day. That's right. On the Mickey Mouse Club, Monday was Fun with Music Day.
Blue. Can you love you? Love you, you're hard. The Mickey Mouse Club, because you know what today is Wednesday. It's anything can happen day.
I'm Place and make up poems from the sayings on the John walls. The last time I was there, some cat had carved Mickey Mouse as a fink on the toilet seat. Hope he didn't cut himself.
Yeah.
We started the show with The Kids Are All Right. Pete Townsend writing for The Who, his band. Produced by the great Shel Talmy. I know, don't tell Roger it's his band, you know? For their band. And started our salute to the Mickey Mouse Club with Soupy Sales, his classic, Do the Mouse. We've been doing the mouse around this studio, too, I'll tell you that. But I digress already. Social Distortion, Mommy's Little Monster. Speaking of Mouseketeers,
Rolling Tumbling was Gaslight Anthem. Not the Muddy Waters version, but their own from their new fifth album, Get Hurt. Mike Crossy producing. Get it from thegaslightanthem.com.
Heart of a Rat. We couldn't resist. I don't know. Rocket from the Crypt. Of course, Speedo from Rocket has a new band, Night Marchers. We've been playing the heck out of that one. And actually, Heart of a Rat ended up on Coolest Songs in the World, Volume 7, wickedcoolrecords.com. Mickey's Monkey, one of the Miracles' biggest hits, and oddly enough, not written by Smokey Robinson, a member of the Miracles at the time, written by Holland Dozier and Holland, most likely referring to Motown A&R director Mickey Stevenson. Big record for the Miracles, 1963. So thank you, Mr. Disney. We're calling the whole show Fun with Music Day.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Doreen. It's time for Words to Grow By. Do you have some for us?
Yes, I do, Jimmy.
Well, good. Okay, Mouseketeers, listen closely to Doreen.
Beauty is as beauty does. That's what wise men say. Now, if you would be beautiful, do this every day. Help someone who's feeling you. Let kindness be your guide. For beauty isn't only looks, it's what you've got inside.
Oh, thank you, Doreen. Wonderful words to grow by.
Where radio continues to evolve.
And you're part of it.
VOA Music Mix.
Welcome back to the Underground Garage. There's a lot going on this week. I mean, historical-like speaking. Thomas Edison showed his first movie, and no, it wasn't in 3D, in 1889. The same year and the same day the Moulin Rouge opened in Paris. The first World Series was broadcast this week, 1921. Ozzy married Harriet, 1935. There'd be no family values without that. A lot of TV action, in addition to the Mickey Mouse Club. Dick Van Dyke premiered, 1961. And more importantly, Mr. Ed. Yes, it was a show about a talking horse. I know, 1961's a little early for drugs, you're thinking, but there was some around back then. And his birthday's all over the place. We're going to get to three of them. But we got Chubby Checker and Stevie Ray Vaughan on the third. Buster Keaton and Ann Rice on the fourth this week. John Lennon, Peter Tosh, and John Entwistle all on the ninth. An amazing day that is. And on October 3rd, we got Ray Edward Cochran. You can call him Eddie. Born in Albert Lea, Minnesota, the family ended up in L.A., where Eddie was told he didn't have the lip for the trombone. So he gave it to La Bamba and learned guitar instead. In 1951, he and compadre Conrad Connie Smith and some other cat formed a trio and started practicing in the back room of the Bell Gardens Music Center. Most of Eddie Cochran's audience would remember him as a good-looking singer, many of whom in those days used the guitar as a prop, but he really could play. He studied Chet Atkins and Joe Mathis and could play honky-tonk in F, which all you guitar players out there know is practically impossible. He could hear a solo on a record, and no matter how fast it was, play it right back to you. But he didn't play that much in public, really. Eddie was wide open about his love for the music of Elvis Presley, but he had his own thing going. He was called the White Chuck Berry because of his ability to write songs that communicated teenage reality. In other words, frustration, and even more painful frustration. And he could have just as correctly been called the equally white Buddy Holly, I suppose. The Summertime Blues, Something Else, Come On Everybody, 20 Flight Rock, and many other classics influenced everybody. In the 50s, we wanted our rock and roll stars to be good-looking hoods, combing their hair, sipping cherry Cokes, and gunning their hot rods, waiting for that sexiest chick in the world to climb into the passenger seat. That's the picture we want to remember. We lost Eddie Cochran Easter 1960 in the middle of a bunch of English one-nighters when a tire blew out and sent him into a lamppost. Girlfriend Sharon Sheely next to him and Gene Vincent asleep in back. But it's that picture of the good-looking hood combing his hair that we'll always remember.
Here she comes. Here comes that girl again. Wanted to meet her since I don't know when. But she don't notice me when I pass. She goes with older guys, pull her out of my class. But that can't stop me from her thinking to myself. She's your fine looking man. She's something else. Hey, look at there. Across the street. Fine looking, man. Get something else. Hey, look here. Just wait and see. Work hard and save my dough. I'll buy that car that I've been working so. Get me that girl and we'll go riding around. We'll look real sharp with a white top down. I'll keep right on a dreaming and a thinking to myself. When it all comes true, man, wow, that's something else. Yeah, what's all this?
Never thought I'd do this before. But here I am, I'm knocking on the door. My car's out front, and it's all mine. Just a 41 Ford, not a 59. I got that girl, and I'm a-thinking to myself.
She's sure fine-looking, man. Wow, she's something else.
But I feel like I forgot
Since 1945, an increasing number of men have chosen the beautification of womankind as a career. Their customers have confidence in their judgment, because, after all, who is more appreciative of beautiful women than a man?
And tell me how you feel. Tell me love is real. Words of love you whisper soft and true. Darling, I love you.
Chester.
On the sunny side of the street, fuzzy fellow.
Is that where you were arrested?
You know where I was busted, Fuzz.
Is there anybody with you when you were arrested?
No, man, I was suspended in midair all by myself.
About you.
kicked off in the Standells. You're listening to Little Steven in the Underground Garage celebrating the anniversary of the Mickey Mouse Club. Why? Because we like you.
Started with the great Eddie Cochran, considered by many at the time to be yet another Elvis Presley impersonator. We know much better now. Just a fantastic artist taken from us way too early. 22 years old. Something Else, his 11th single, written by Eddie and his girlfriend Sharon Sheely, and produced by Eddie and Jerry Capehart. Forgotten Man, brand new from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Brand new album, Hypnotic Eye. Tom wrote it and co-produced it with Mike Campbell and Ryan Unpronounceable. Buddy Holly started out recording, of course, as the Crickets, and started going like every other record, Crickets and one solo Buddy Holly. That was the Beatles version of Words of Love from Beatles for Sale, their fourth album in about 14 months. I kid you not. The Pandora is absolutely essential, magnificent, all-girl garage rock, written and sung by Paula Pierce, who we lost very early, and produced by Bill England. And a Standell, Sometimes Good Guys Don't Wear White, written and produced by Ed Cobb. We'll be right back with, well, here's a little hint.
We are morons, tried and true, and we'll do our yell for you.
This ain't your grandfather's VOA.
VOA Music Mix.
Welcome back to the Underground Garage. We got another birthday we're celebrating this week. October 5th is the birthday of our freak of the week, Larry Fine. Yeah, Mel Gibson's favorite actor was born Louis Feinberg in Philadelphia. His showbiz career started early when his father propped him up on a jewelry showcase at the age of 2 to show his relatives how good he could dance. He danced for about 10 seconds and then fell backwards through the glass case. But his luck was already good, and he emerged unharmed. By 15, he was earning a living in vaudeville, playing the violin, dancing, telling jokes, and occasionally boxing for extra money. Chicago, 1925, at the Rainbow Gardens. Larry did his act, and in the audience was Moe and Shep Howard and their manager, Ted Healy. They had their own vaudeville act, and Shemp wanted to leave, so he suggested they get Larry to replace him. Ted Healy told Larry he'd pay him $90 a week and throw in another $10 if he'd lose the violin. Curly, another Howard brother, would join soon thereafter, and the Three Stooges were born. Offstage, Larry was a social butterfly, he and his wife always having dinner parties in the hotel suites where they lived most of the time, since Larry's wife was not a big fan of doing housework. He would spend every penny he made on anybody who asked, and whatever was left, he usually lost at the track or in card games. But it was he who suggested giving a piece of their salaries to Curly after he had a stroke and had to leave the act. The quiet one, the mostly straight man, the best actor of them all, never a complaint, devil may care to the end, our freak of the week, Larry Fine.
Searching to destroy. And when I'm made it. It's 6 o'clock and you're married.
What happened? What happened?
You're married, kid. Say something.
Help! Help!
My boy. I got so much love in my heart for him that I really don't feel like me when he's not around. Yes, there are boys and there are boys, but he's a
fine boy.
I want to tell the world my boy I love. Just the other guy was real. He's so sincere when he holds me tight. When I'm through, he makes me feel all right. All these guys sweet things is that I do just call. He's a fine, fine, super fine boy.